Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hey, thanks for being with us today. Janie and I are looking at the four M's of emotion, how emotions are molecules, they're messengers, they're manageable and messy. Today, we're looking at how emotions get messy when we experience loss.
There are times when messy emotions are going to erupt or are going to flash, and you know what? That is not only okay, that should happen. Because when we suffer loss, then emotions can get very, very messy.
Gosh, Janie, emotions are really complex, and we have been taking bite-sized pieces through this conversation so that we can be able to digest it. And I think we're about 5 weeks in, aren't we?
Yes, and I hope that it is not becoming mundane, because we still find that there are layers and layers and layers still yet to be uncovered, not only in identifying, but then in finding the solutions.
This has really been good. It's been good for me.
Well, I had an individual text me the other day who is very busy in life and said, I sat down for an evening and went through all of the past podcasts, just one after another. And then they had a bunch of happy faces and hearts saying it changed. It gave me exactly what I needed. Thank you. So this is definitely a series, but you shared something with me earlier today about where you had applied the RICE process.
Yes.
And RICE really does stand for a way that we can start to deal with our emotions. So why don't you share with how we use the RICE? If anybody is a sports nut, then they know that if you have a muscular problem, that you simply use rest, ice, compression, and elevation. But in the spiritual world and the messy emotion world, we have RICE that will make it easy to remember. And so this week you had an opportunity to recognize the feel of the feelings. Then you identified and where they were coming from, and then you compared those with scripture, and then you explored all the resources that God has given. So without going into great detail, do you want to just give an overview of how that brought you victory?
I just found it so amazing because I found myself in an old emotion.
All right.
A familiar one, an old familiar one, you know, it's a nice companion, you know.
You're comfortable with it.
Comfortable with it. And I recognized that I hadn't had that emotion in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I recognized it. And then I was able to identify where that thought was coming from. And so I just took that thought to truth. And then went to prayer. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says to take every thought
captive
into the knowledge of Christ. And so that's really what I did. And it reminded me that this is all about renewing our mind and our thought process. And another time this week, and this isn't the RICE, but another time this week, I could actually feel when I was confronted with some new thoughts and new identity of some ways of thinking about scripture, I can actually feel my brain like readjust.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
When we were talking about being chosen in adoption of salvation, I had never thought about being adopted as being chosen.
Mm.
And I just thought that was so neat how God chose us.
And if that gave,
not just for a special ministry or,
no,
you know, but he chose us to be a part of his family.
That's right.
And so I just that whole allowing God to renew our thought processes has just really been neat for me to recognize those things this week.
And then your body recognized it. And so different chemicals started flowing through your body, through the hormones and through the electrical charges. And that does require an instant change. And then if we continue to do that the way we've talked about, at least establishing a habit,
yeah,
then within 4 days, 4 days.
Well, I can say that from last week to this week, because my emotions were messy last week.
You had some messy emotions.
With the loss of,
yes,
of Daryl, and yes, you know, he was so precious in my life, the station founder and president. He was just so special in my life that loss, you know, just started showing up in different ways that I didn't really think about.
Right.
You know, that my emotions just got messy.
Well, and I think that's a good place to jump off today, because you know what? For the last few weeks, we've talked about messy emotions, and because they are works of the flesh, our own selfishness, our own reasoning and everything. Mm-hmm. But Sharon, we need to offer, which God already has, grace to our listeners when a trauma happens. In other words, you were floating along in life, doing your job, enjoying it, having good fellowship, growing in the Lord, and then something out of the blue, through no fault of your own, hit us all square in the face. And so there are times when messy emotions are going to erupt or are going to flash. And you know what? That is not only okay, that should happen. Because when we suffer loss, then emotions can get very, very messy. All of a sudden, just as you said, just overnight, mm-hmm. and we have thought processes that we never thought about because we've had circumstances we've never dealt
right.
with. And in looking at our study today, if we have loss of a loved one, if we have loss of health, if all of a sudden the job situation is threatened, or there's a divorce, or one aspect, Sharon, that I find is so overlooked, but that is such a loss, and that is loss of freedom when you become an instant caregiver.
We
live in a community where there are a lot of older people that have strokes, have situations of fall, and
it can be opposite too, where grandparents are raising their grandchildren.
Absolutely.
You know, they're becoming caregivers all over again.
So we have a paper that I think we'll post today called The 5 Aspects of Loss or Grief. And we need to recognize that with loss is grief. And many times when we're grieving, we need to start to say, where is the loss? And we go through 5 different stages, Sharon. They don't necessarily have to be in a chronological order, but many times they will follow this pattern.
Okay.
So I just want to give you the 5 stages, and then let's just talk about the practicality of this so that we can, again, recognize and identify, and then we'll look at what the scripture will say. Our 5 stages, when you have a traumatic event or situation happen, the first thing is to just go into denial. You're in shock. And I think we have both experienced that with the circumstances of the last few weeks. And then denial will usually go into anger. Why did this happen? This isn't fair. Doesn't God care? And then we have a tendency to go into bargaining. And sometimes the bargaining is before the actual loss, where God, please spare my child. And if you'll just do this, I'll do that. I'll come back to church, or I'll do whatever you want to bargain with God with. And then when the bargaining fails, then we can spiral into depression. And we'll talk just a little bit about depression, but depression really almost requires a whole study. And I think we did a touch on that in 2016 that
17.
We could 17. Sorry. But the goal is that as we work through this grief / loss process, we're going to come to a point of acceptance. And a verse comes to my mind that I would just like to say that we can use maybe as our foundation as we go through these different steps, because they are more than legitimate. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 10:13. The idea is to go through the process and not get bogged down and hung up on any one point. We see that happening a lot in Christian circles as well as non-Christian circles. But the scripture is, there hath no temptation or testing overtaken you, but such as is common to man and or woman. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, on first reading of that, that sounds almost paradoxical. I've got an escape that I can bear, and he won't tempt me above beyond what I am able. Wait a minute. I know I'm already at my breaking point.
Yeah.
All right.
I can remember saying that a few times. Really, Lord, I'm already at my breaking point.
That's right.
I don't think I could take it.
How does this apply? Mm-hmm. But again, then if we study the word, we will find that he is talking about the fact that we are able as he does the work through us. So it's not a human strength. It's not a human reasoning. It is that as we empty ourselves of the trauma that we can't cope with and just say, I cast all my cares back on you, all my worries, all my fears. And then he says, fine, I will fill you with my strength. And then it says that he's got a way of escape. Well, if he's got a way of escape, why am I bearing it? I did a little further research on this in the past, and it doesn't mean that we're going to escape by going around the problem. It doesn't mean that we're going to get a hilltop experience and just escalate over the problem. And it doesn't mean that we're going to slide under the fence underneath the problem. No, the way of escape is through the problem, and that he will show us how to bear it, because as we go through the problem, we will come out of that tunnel. We will come out. We will have grown. We will be stronger.
We'll have more character.
Of Christ.
Of Christ. And he will build things in us that we need.
Yes. And you know what? He will also have begun a warrior spirit within you. He has called us to do warfare for him. Ephesians 6 tells us, Peter says, I've called you to this. But when you talk to the average Christian enjoying all the graciousness that we have from Jesus Christ, and then we talk about warfare, it's like, I think I'll go join another conversation. Don't really like the way this one's going.
I'm gonna go on a cruise, Janie. Not on a warship.
Yeah, there you go. So let's break it down in the fact to see how the Lord sometimes can take us through the valley. Okay. Just by looking at helping people today be able to see, yes, I fit into this boat. So let's just talk about shock and denial of when something first happens.
Okay.
Hopefully the denial will be like what you and I have gone through here recently, just not being able to wrap our hearts and minds around the loss and the unknowns that come with that loss. And so we need to look at sometimes your brain and your heart just can't believe your loved one is gone from earth for good. How about someone who has a divorce that they've been served papers on, a divorce they never thought they would see, they do not want, but their spouse now has exploded with anger and wrath, and they don't know where it's come from. They have lived blind, or they have lived with escape mechanisms, but now the reality has hit them, and they're overwhelmed. Or what about you go to the doctor and you have an annual checkup, and this annual checkup with test goes into a terminal illness where they now tell you have maybe 3 months, 6 months, or 6 weeks, and you can't handle it. It's shock. How about when you've put your whole life into a career and you've built and built and built, and you can see daylight at the end of the tunnel, and you're going to be able to retire and hopefully enjoy the good life, and you're fired, and you are shorted your benefits and your retirement package, and you know this is probably a process of the corporate world,
right.
But nevertheless,
right.
You are still a victim. You didn't do anything wrong. You had been faithful to your 30 years of service.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that hit us. And then how about even our young people who go to school for maybe 20 years, and they graduate, and they're excited to go out and find life.
Find that job, that perfect job that they've been studying for.
They wind up at a delivery service delivering food, or they wind up at a fast food chain. And I'm certainly glad we have people at the fast food chains. A lot of us would go hungry. But nevertheless, the disappointment and the disillusionment after they've been going to school sometimes since they were 4 years old.
Yeah.
and now they're 25 and they're minimum.
They can't find a job.
And yes. And so the stage of shock and denial usually doesn't last very long because it switches into anger. And anger because the spouse who died and never said goodbye, the spouse who left you unprotected or unprepared for life now alone. How about the person in the divorce who said, I never really ever loved you? And the shock that you've been with this person 15, 20, 30 years, and now they just said, I want to walk away from this. It's everything's temporal.
You feel like you've lived a lie.
And so you are with
anger.
Betrayal and helplessness and hopelessness, and maybe it's financial ruin. And it's a tornado that wipes out everything that you have, or a flood, or something that just changes your life in a moment. These are the places where emotions are going to get messy, and we need to make allowance for that. We don't need to go under guilt if we have crying jags. And if we get anger, then what we really need to do is to say, okay, I am angry.
Right.
And even confess and petition in prayer to the Lord. And Lord, my anger, as I think about it, is going back to you. Why did you allow this? If you're a loving God, you could have stopped this and you didn't. Why? That can throw us into unbelief, which then can bring us into a dangerous situation, because now we're questioning the love of God, the grace of God, the sovereignty of God, and then our emotions must make a correction. But let's say if you have those, then let's acknowledge them, confess them, and then petition the Lord in prayer. Anger will also do one other thing that is highly dangerous, and that is it will make us critical of everything and everybody that was associated with the loss. Okay? So then from there, we can go into bargaining. Sometimes we even bargain before we have the actual crisis. We have a severe problem. The child is dying. Oh, Lord, please spare this child. This child is innocent. Why should this child have cancer at a year old?
Right.
And so we may go into a bargaining mode. And I think even probably that might have been done with David when the fruit of his sin brought about the child.
Yes.
And he prayed and he fasted and went into mourning.
Yes.
Lord, if you will just spare this child.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Lord chose not to, then David, instead of going into depression, cleansed himself, put on fresh clothes, and went and ate.
Yes.
That's right. And he did deal with it properly. He didn't let it go into depression. And depression is really something. I heard somebody the other day, Sharon, and it really kind of grieved me, because they said, very matter-of-factly, depression is just a self-pity party.
Oh.
And so anybody sitting there with any cause of depression was immediately put under guilt. Well, you're just in a self-pity party.
No.
So let's just put maybe a little renewing from when we talked about this before. But depression is the consequence of a wrong response to life events. But you can have a physical depression because the hormones aren't working right, or because our thought processes have brought the wrong chemicals and our body is not operating the way God designed it. So we're suffering the consequences. We can also have depression as a result of what we call something else. And that something else is a life crisis that happened to us, not because we did anything wrong, but it's because a crisis occurred, and that can cause us to go into a depression because a crisis is not resolved. And then if it's coupled with wrong responses, in other words, people are accusing or saying hurtful things, then it can crush the spirit. And Proverbs 15:13, Sharon says, when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Now, Sharon, simple question. Where does the Holy Spirit reside within us?
In our heart.
And in our spirit, our inner being.
Mm-hmm.
And so when our heart is sad, when our heart is grieved and broken, then the Holy Spirit is still there to comfort us, but we won't allow that because our spirit is in such a bad state. That's not a blame. That's just the fact when overwhelming life, and we have to still realize we live in an unredeemed world, and we still feel the effects of original sin back there from the garden. And so that is why, as you were saying earlier, the need to stay in the Word, mm-hmm. to stay constantly renewing, becomes essential if we're not going to become a victim by choice of our own depression.
Right. Those emotions that we feel sometimes, like I said earlier, they're comforting. They're an old feeling that comes back, and it's like, oh, I remember this feeling. And your responses when you get those emotions are almost natural. They almost automatically come out. And so we have to really hone in and recognize those pretty quickly before we start reacting to those same old attitudes and actions.
If we remember that the memories are stored, and as you said mm-hmm. earlier, the memory that you had was from long ago, mm-hmm. where all of a sudden where did that come from?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that for 30 years. But yeah. you see, if you hadn't dealt with it 30 years ago, then the amygdala of the brain
right.
say, oh, I'll store
I'm going to store that for you.
I'm going to make a library card on that. And when you have those again, yeah. I'll know exactly what chemicals and electrical impulses to pull up.
Well, I have a lot of those stored. She's got quite a library card file on me because I've not dealt with my emotions very well. And so I'm going to have several of those to go through.
But you that, know, but see that what's so beautiful about that, Sharon, is as you start to deal with them, the books get checked out. And then as you take on new thought processes, you have new books that are getting stored, and then you are strengthened with your whole physical being, and you're ready to be a warrior. So, we need to give ourselves, though, a little warning here in the few minutes that we have left, because Greek philosophy, which is Western thought, from old, Socrates and Plato said, well, know thyself. And, you know, there is truth in that. We need to be. That's what we've been kind of mm-hmm. talking about.
Right.
Know your flesh bends. Know who you are in mm-hmm. Christ. Know your identity.
Know but those emotions when they
right.
come and deal with them properly.
The danger here is that they were basing their evaluation from logic and human reasoning. And human reasoning and all the intelligence in the world cannot give you a solution for an eternal creature. Only the one who created that creature, only the one who wrote the DNA, wrote the solution. And so even though you can learn much information from looking at philosophy, you cannot find the final solutions. And I know we sound like a broken record, but I don't mind that accusation, because there is no other way to find the solution other than in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But that causes us to put all our wisdom, and I put that word in quotes, and all our logic aside and humble ourselves before the Lord and say, apart from you, I can do nothing. And I really am nothing in light of all of eternity. So if we keep looking at ourself, we're going to live in stress. And stress is going to simply build and build and build. So
do we gain more stress from grief? I mean, is stress part of the grieving process?
Yes, and it is accumulative, and it can even be addictive. And that's why we have to constantly look into the face of Jesus. And so I would just say, let's prioritize our priorities, Sharon. And I'll let you have it from there.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time. And God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHarts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.